Thank you, Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, May 30th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mplanganyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The family of Itai Dzamara has released the first ever picture said to be that of the abducted Occupy Africa Unity Square leader in captivity.
We managed to verify the image. As a family, we know him, and we also used professional services.
Some Zimbabweans have commended the government for setting up a permanent high court structure in Maswingo.
Maswingo being the fourth largest city, we need really to decentralize things because people are traveling distances to Bulawayo or to Harare to seek services of the high court.
And former senior ZANU-PF official Themba Moliswa appears in court for holding an unsanctioned meeting.
The family of missing political activist Itai Dzamara has for the first time released an image said to be that of the missing Occupy Africa Unity Square leader, which it sourced from some Zimbabwean state security agents allegedly linked to his abduction in Harare almost 15 months ago. Reporter Ivan Chifera has more details from Harare.
Family representative and Itai's brother, Patson Dzamara, told journalists that the image and details and names of his alleged abductors were veiled by some of the people close to his disappearance. Though he could not say whether his brother was dead or alive, Patson said the family sought help from experts to verify the authenticity of the photos. He said the experts noted that they were real. Patson told journalists that indications are that his abductors masked him probably because they were tortured him. Though the family had previously cited state security agents as responsible for Itai's disappearance, Patson said evidence availed to them pointed to some military intelligence operatives as his possible assailants.
I cannot at this juncture state my brother's fate in the hands of these gangsters, but I can categorically inform you that Itai Dzamara was abducted by the military intelligence under the direct instruction and supervision of ZANU-PF.
There was no immediate reaction from the military intelligence over these allegations. Patson, who was flanked by members of Itai's Occupy Africa Unity Square group, showed journalists a purported image of Itai at one of the places where he was kept following his abduction in March last year.
And so this is one of the places where Itai was kept. We managed to verify the image. As a family, we know him, and we also used professional services insofar as identifying the person in the image is concerned.
He said the pictures were provided after they asked for proof of life, but he could not tell when and whether Itai was alive.
We do not know why his head is covered like this or why his head was covered like this, but according to the professionals, there is a highly likelihood that they actually tortured him to such an extent that he sustained injuries, head injuries, and because of that, they had to cover the head. And
Dzamara said the family had been furnished with names of Itai's alleged abductors, but could not divulge them as the family was still gathering information and would release more information at the appropriate time. Zimbabwe Republic Police National Spokesperson, Senior Assistant Commissioner Charity Charamba, refused to comment about the Dzamara family press conference, saying she had not seen the purported Itai images. She said the Dzamara family was better positioned to provide more information regarding Itai Dzamara, but Dzamara family lawyer Kenneth Masia said, following the latest information on the missing political activist, they would furnish the courts with the details.
We are going definitely to take this information back to court and also going to approach the authorities who are said to be seized with the investigations of these whereabouts and also force them to investigate and find where Itai is.
despite a court ruling compelling security agents to find Itai Dzamara. The family accuses the police of showing lack of interest in the matter. Dzamara, a journalist turned human rights activist, was allegedly abducted by suspected state security agents in March last year. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Thanks, Ivan. Studio 7's Blessing Zulu speaks with Shefra Dzamara, Itai's wife, about the photographs in the possession of her family.
Yeah, it's Itai. I identified the foot and even the face. You can actually see that it's Itai.
How about the clothes that he was wearing? Are they the same clothes that he was wearing when he was abducted?
No, they're not the same.
And does this give you hope that whatever happened to Itai will actually come out?
Yeah, this gives me hope that the truth will come out soon.
And tell us about his children. What are they saying about his abduction now?
The children, you can actually see that they miss their father. Every day they talk about their father.
And did you show them the pictures?
No, I didn't. And I'm not going to show them.
Why?
It might disturb them.
That was Shefra Dzamara, wife of abducted Africa Unity Square leader Itai Dzamara, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.
Some Mashingo residents have welcomed the opening of a permanent high court in the city, saying they will no longer be travelling to Bulawayo and Harare for court cases handled by this arm of the judiciary system. Our correspondent Gandri Maramba attended the official opening ceremony today and filed this report from Mashingo.
One of the residents, Brent Banda, said the move by government was welcome, though it came a bit too late.
Mashingo being the fourth largest city, we need really to decentralize things because people are traveling distances to Bulawayo or to Harare to seek services of the High Court. We feel that it should have been done quite a long time ago because people really needed the services of the High Court. But now, since it's been open today, we applaud the effort and people can access the services of the High Court right here in Mashingo.
Another local resident, Mugovera Makonese, urged government to open more high court structures in most parts of the country and stop focusing on issues that don't add value to people's lives, including the recent 1 million men march organized by the ruling party's youth league to show support for President Robert Mugabe.
The cost of justice must be very minimal to the residents of the whole country. I believe it is a question of misplaced priorities that 36 years after independence, we are celebrating the opening of the High Court in one province.
Speaking at the official opening ceremony, Chief Justice Godfrey Chigao Siku admitted that the decentralization of the judicial system was long overdue.
I also want to thank the Judicial Service Commission for the job well done. We should have done this a long time ago.
Speaking at the same occasion, Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa, who is also the Legal and Parliamentary Affairs Minister, said government would work tirelessly to speed up the decentralization of High Court services to all the provinces.
Decentralization of the High Court to Mashingo is a welcome development.
Mashingo becomes the first province to have a permanent High Court since independence, as such courts were established in Harare and Bulawayo during the colonial era. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mashingo, this is Gandri Maramba.
Temba Mliswa, leader of the Youth Advocacy for Reform and Democracy, who was arrested yesterday with 23 other members of his organization for holding a public meeting deemed illegal by an Esigodini councillor, has been released on bail by a local magistrate. Mliswa, a former ZANU-PF lawmaker, is facing charges of violating some provisions of the Public Order and Security Act, or POSA. Mliswa's lawyer, Lizwe Jamela, tells Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri that the magistrate remanded Mliswa to June 22nd on free bail and ordered him not to interfere with witnesses.
They went to a public place, some restaurant in Ekigodini, to get some refreshments. What is the reason for them to be there today? We will make you understand that that is when some people and police back in and they said they were actually having an unsanctioned meeting. So we ended up getting into court, and Miso was actually remanded to the 22nd of June after the long deliberations were done.
What did Mr. Mulisco say about this?
Generally, without preempting a lot in terms of his defense, generally he denies that, like I mentioned earlier on, they were just having refreshments at a restaurant, and the next thing, being arrested for organizing a public meeting without notifying the regulating authority. And we find that to be very absurd and very disturbing. Whereas Mulisco, we know who Mulisco is, we know his, we know, I think his profile needs not to mention even here. We know who Kemba Mulisco is. The issue now is not about the law, I think, and that's my opinion. The issue is about who Kemba Mulisco is. And what it simply means is that a Kemba Mulisco is not supposed to talk to people who number is more than 15. Otherwise, he becomes the subject of court, which would be very ridiculous.
That was Lizwe Jamela, attorney for Themba Mliswa, leader of the Youth Advocacy for Reform and Democracy, on the line from Esigodini, Matabeleland South Province, with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
An information technology specialist says Zimbabwe's economy could be in better shape if the country fully exploits modern technologies in doing business. Kumbirai Mkudu, one of the 60 young Zimbabweans taking part in the Mandela Washington Fellowship this year, says leading economies like Kenya and Nigeria are developing because of modern technologies. Mkudu works for the London-headquartered auditing company Ernst & Young in Harare. He will be attached to the Virginia Commonwealth University for the Mandela Washington Fellowship. He tells reporter Ntungameli Nkomo he is humbled and excited to be one of the fellows.
I'm excited about the Mandela Washington Fellowship opportunity. I think, first and foremost, because I did apply last year, actually, but, I wasn't successful. So, I was still dedicated, and I was still wanting to, to still try out for the opportunity. So I then, got selected for this year. So, I am on cloud 9, cloud 10, somewhere up there about it.
And how do you think the Mandela Washington Fellowship will help you?
Yeah, what I can actually say is the Mandela Washington Fellowship has actually started opening doors into a number of avenues. I can tell you, for instance, that even before we've already gone from the fellowship, I've managed to connect with one of our coordinators who's at the institution where I'll be going, who's also managed to connect me with someone who's involved in the arts faculty at the institution. So it's already beginning to open doors.
In terms of IT, where exactly would you say we are as a country, as Zimbabwe?
So in terms of IT, I think as a country we still to tap into that space because, there's a lot of opportunity that we stand to benefit from IT. There's a lot of technology which has not yet been adopted, in our country. And I think even if you look at e-commerce, for example, we're still quite a long way from really realizing the benefits that e-commerce has to bring. So I think in terms of IT, I think we still need to mature in that space. In the US, for example, there's a lot more reliance on IT. To just put it in summary, I think we still have a lot in terms of realizing the full benefits of IT in our country.
Mandela Washington Fellow and Information Technology Expert Kumbirai Mkudu on the line from Harare with the reporter Ntungameli Nkomo.
Young people out there, are you concerned about the many issues that affect you and Zimbabweans in general? Rise to the occasion. Make an impact. Let your voice be heard, and let's get talking on The Connection.
We cover a range of issues that affect young people.
I am Tatenda Gumbo.
And I'm Ntungameli Nkomo.
And we are the hosts for your number one youth forum, The Connection. Join us tomorrow as we discuss teenage pregnancy, as the recent Zimbabwe Demographic Health Survey shows 1 in 10 adolescent girls giving birth each year. What's your take on this issue?
To get involved, send us a message with the hashtag #TheConnection on WhatsApp. The number is 001-202-465-0318.